Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text of the second lesson, St. Paul to the Galatian church. First, he starts by reminding people how they should behave toward each other. There are going to be times and things where people are going to do things that are just plain wrong and you know it. But what it's going to amount to you is how you behave when you take care of these people. There's multiple ways that you can instruct someone so that they come out of it better off, and there are also ways that you can do things that will just drive them out, drive them away, and make you look like an idiot. Sometimes the church has been capable of doing the make you look like an idiot thing without too much trouble. It seems to be that being judgmental sometimes seems to be one of the things we do, but he's saying, look, you know, there's going to be times when people are going to have problems. It's up to you to do it right. You know what you're doing. You know what you're supposed to do. Carry it off in love, not in judgment. Then he talks about how he himself sees his position, you know, where he's at. As far as me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation. For all this, walk in peace and mercy be upon them and the Israel of God. I don't want to know anything but the cross of Christ and his death and resurrection. The world has been crucified to me. So crucifixion is something that Paul thinks about. It's something that's on his mind. He knows that Jesus was crucified. He knows he died. He knows he was resurrected, but he knows what he went through to get to that point. And he sees this as something that's an example to him. He wants the world to be crucified as far as he's concerned. He doesn't want the world to control him. He doesn't want the world to be the point that he's responsible to. He doesn't really want anything to do with the world. He knows he's in it. But he knows that the world will destroy him if it gets a chance. Luther always held out there were three things that are going to get you: the devil, the world, and your flesh. They're always there, always have been, and always will be. He's taken on the world. The world has a lot to offer, but it also offers a lot of things that are very, very destructive and will do you very, very little good. They will not give you the peace that you're looking for. So he wants to crucify the world in his life, not through his own crucifixion, but because of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So what's crucifixion? It's where they nailed him to a cross and killed him so that he would go away, so that he'd leave him alone, so that he would be gone, that what he taught would be finished, it would all die out, and nothing would come to be. Nothing would come to be, though he had told them, look it, 3 days from now, I will rise. They may kill me. They may put me on a cross. They will kill me. I will die 3 days from now. You will see me alive. And they did. For 70 days they were there until Pentecost and until Ascension, where he was with them wherever he found them. And he found them in places where they were hiding because they were scared, silly, that the Jews were going to come and get them. They said, look, they got him. You know, he was the one that was the head of the thing, and they got him and they crucified him. Why won't they do the same to us? And so they hid, but he found them anyway, and he granted them peace. And he showed them his side, they showed him his hands, and they said, look, touch, feel, know that I'm here, know that I'm alive, know that I survived this crucifixion. And Paul wants this world to be crucified to him. He wants the world to be put on the cross and destroyed, not be something that is desirable and wanted, but rather something that is not desirable and something that is to be avoided, if at all possible. And then he talks about circumcision and uncircumcision. You know, you don't think those would relate to this. But he had a group of people that were following him around called the Judaizers. And these people were good Jews. And they maintained that if you're going to be a Christian, first you have to be a good Jew. Maybe better than the average Jew. And better have circumcision done, because that's the mark of a good Jew. That's what happens. That's what you do. When you have your children born, when the boys are born, this is done to them. If you have adult converts, this is done to them, because that's what you have to do to be a good Jew. Paul's saying, no. You can be a Christian. You can be a believer in Jesus Christ. You could live in the glory and the peace that Christ gives you without circumcision, and that does not take you out of the promise. It just is not a law that you have to worry about. Paul has problems with the law. He's not an antinomian. He's not one who's out to destroy the law. What he's looking at is a way in which he can feel it's fulfilled, transmit that to his people that they don't have to worry about it, because in the forgiveness of Christ, the law is fulfilled. There is no law any longer that causes you to worry about what's going to happen to you. The law is fulfilled. It no longer has that curse. But the Jews wanted it their way. They wanted the law fulfilled on the bodies of their people. They wanted them to do what they were always supposed to do and never vary from that. He said, look, you know, I have enough problems with the world. I'm trying to get the world crucified so that it stays away from me. And I don't need you people trying to do this thing to these new developing Christians to make it more difficult for them to believe and more difficult for them to function. It doesn't really matter. Circumcised, uncircumcised, we're a new creation. Peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. And so peace and mercy be upon us as we are the Israel of God. Amen.